So all these pieces after Moshe and Shabbat until Hallelujah will be of the same makam.
Could you maybe give me an example of just saying the end of Baruch She'amar, the contrast of makam, and maybe a little bit of Mizmor Shirli on the Shabbat?
Okay, let's see. Baruch She'amar would have been like this. Baruch She'amar ve'aya ha'olam baruch omer ve'ose baruch kozer umkayem baruch ose bereshit Baruch Merachem ala Ares, Baruch Merachem ala Beriot, Baruch Meshalim Sechar Tov Lireav, Baruch Hayla Ad Vekayam Lanesach, Baruch Ode Umosil, Baruch Shemom. Supposing now I want to go into Bayat. Baruch Atah Adonai Meka Olam Ha'el Ha'barachman Me'unafi Ha'amo Meshubach Mufuar Adi Hachmo Ha'gadol. ונזכיר שלך מלכנו אלוהי חיי העולמים מלך משבע ופועל עד השם הגל ברוך אתה אדוני מלך מהולל בת תשבחות מזמור שיר ליום השבת עולם ביד טוב להודות לאדוני השם שלך העליון להגיד בבוקר חסדיך ומנתך בלילות עלי עשו עלי גם בכנור כשמחת אנו פעלו מהחסדיך ארנן מגד ומעשיך אדוני מאוד עמק ומחשבותיך שבוע לא ידעך שאלה בנת זאת פרח שאני כמחי שבסיב כפרה משם ידם עדי עד and continues everyone taking up from there will continue by it until they get your hallelujah. Now, what you may have a hallelujah in mind. Hallelujah. The cantor will say his piece now. Hallelujah. Leluel Bekotcho. Hallelujah. Birki Auzo. Hallelujah. Biburotav. Hallelujah, Rav Gudlo. Hallelujah, Betek HaShofar. Hallelujah, Benebel Bechnor. Hallelujah, Betof Umahol. Hallelujah, במנים ועוחב הללוהו בסלסל שמע הללוהו בסלסל תרועה כל הנשמה תהלליה תהלליה הללויה כל הנשמה תהלליה תהלליה Hallelujah. The makam changes right here to a standard siga. Always standard siga because you're coming into Vayosha. Siga. Baruch Adonai, Yonam, Amen, Amen, Baruch Adonai, Hallelujah. Baruch Adonai, Elohim, Lissai, Hussein, Favre, Tebedo, Baruch Shem, Kadol, Yonam, Vimelech, Vod, Kolaris, Amen, Amen. ויברך דוד את אדוני על כל הקהל נסיגה because he's coming into here and he will finish down to here right. That's the end of him the now the major Hazan will come up to the day of the Hazan of the day he starts with his presentation here this is a an impromptu presentation from here to here to get his voice into the area that makes him comfortable and here's his first melodic piece Okay, structured.
Right. Yeah, we've been through that right many times. Thank you very much.
That's, okay.
That's great. I'm just curious, the melody that you just used for Hallelujah, the Psalm 150, do you know where that melody comes from?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't recall now. It's an Arabic song. It's an Arabic popular song.
Is there a popular. Pizmon?
No.
For it?
No. Okay. Pizmon there isn't to it at this point.
Okay. When you... made the switch during Baruch She'amar at the end
yes.
of that bracha, before, right before you started in Bayat.
No, I started in Bayat when I started
the bracha.
Before was Moshe HaShabbat.
All right, so in the middle you switch.
Yes, in other words, I don't pay attention to the public that's saying the beginning of the Ten Baruch.
So they're just going to end
in Nahuan. That's all.
And then you just begin.
The Hazan automatically goes into his pitch, whatever he wants to do.
Okay, so
he doesn't swing.
He
doesn't
swing.
No.
He'll just start wherever he wants.
He starts wherever he needs to start to get his makam in place.
Okay.
In other words, there's no switcheroo
right.
from the Hazan himself.
He doesn't like, listen to them.
He has to make himself deaf, actually, to what the Kahal, because you have 400 voices singing.
Okay.
He's
got
to make himself deaf and go out on his own.
Okay.
It sounds cold and it sounds brusque,
right.
but it can't be helped, because
right.
he's not the one that's saying Baruch Shem Amar.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Furthermore, the pitch. Now, it's plausible
okay.
to go from Nahuan to Bayat. There's no doubt about it. But for me to go from my Nahuan to Bayat, I have to go up 5 notes.
Mm-hmm.
Because automatically there's a scale. But Nahuan and the upper tetrachord would have been, in other words, for me to get to the other tetrachord would have been 5 notes. But what the heck? I don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
All I want to be is, let's say, maybe just 2 notes above his Nahuan.
Mm-hmm.
So I will have to break away from him, not go smoothly into it, but brusquely I will go into it.
Okay.
Because that would not lend itself to really saying the rest of the pieces of music.
Okay.
Musically, with an instrument, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
But vocally, it won't work out.
Okay. Two last questions. Hopefully, they'll be very quick. One of which is, a lot of the stuff that I've been reading about Arabic music talks about, you know, sultana, talks about like this sense of ecstasy
yes.
that's involved in music. And I'm just curious, I mean, as much as, you know, Syrian, you know, tefillah makes use
yes.
of Arabic melodies
mm.
and so on. If I were to like ask you the question, I mean, what is really the goal of tefillah? I mean, I know as a religious Jew,
yes.
the goal of tefillah is to pray to Hashem
yes.
and to fulfill one's obligations for prayer. But how would you maybe articulate that?
Well, I will tell you the truth. In reality, there are, amongst the Ashkenazim have a very interesting phraseology. Where they say, when they say somebody is davening at the Dukhan, he's Dukhaning, or at the Amud,
mm-hmm.
he say he's a Baal Tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a cantor, he's not an opera singer,
right.
but he's a Baal Tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
What makes him a Baal Tefillah? The listener can actually see the phrases in the sentences and sense an emotion
mm-hmm.
the way this person is saying the words. They can really sense the words, and they feel them. In other words, he's really talking about the essence of what the tefillah is trying to say.
Okay.
The Hazanim have that problem too.
You mean Syrian Hazanim?
We're no longer Syrian Hazanim. Now we're Hazanim that are involved with most of the Hazanim today are Israelis too.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few left that are Hazanim that are Syrian. Hazanim Syrian, God bless him, my brother Moses. Outside of him, there aren't too many others. There are two guys that came. One, his name is, he's from the Rudi family. He came from Syria. And the other one also happens to be a Rudi. They're not related. It happens to be Rudi. But he was brought up here in Brooklyn
Not Ricky.
Ricky is a cousin of his.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But this other Rudi finally went to Mexico. They took him in Mexico as a Hazan. Anyway, they would use the melodic pieces as a total rendition, as the original singer would have presented it on his record or whatever it is. In other words, they emulate it completely. Okay? Then the rest of the material, if they are sensitive and really understand what they're praying, they will express that in the mode of musical expression.
Mm-hmm.
Like an opera, not like opera singers. I think can take a stupid word and make a whole what to do about it.
Right.
But here they try to give a little drama to the meaning of the words that they're trying to express, etc. One of the greatest guys in reality that I know is so expressive is El Nadav. He is very expressive. He's very dramatic in his presentation of his tefillah. You can actually feel the meaning of the material that he's rendering to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's remarkable in that way. Most of the others are not that way. Most of the others are really just block choppers. they hear, they present the melody, and so on, and they move in and out of a makam, very get confused and complicated, but not too many of them lend the drama of the presentation of the tefillah itself. My brother Mo, God bless him, he's excellent at that point.
Yeah, the analogy you're drawing between the Ashkenazic Baal Tefillah, you're saying that the Syrian Chazan, like Mo or yourself,
yes,
is like the Baal Tefillah.
Yes,
someone
exactly.
Who's trying to make you feel the words.
And now we use the music, not because we want to emulate the music and render it as the singer said it in his record, but we try to render it in a manner that gives expression to the words that we're trying to really have the people sense and feel and so on. And now that unfortunately, a lot of it has been lost. A lot of it has been lost. Yeah. Today, they're just, they just go through the material, not...
I mean, it's the same thing in Ashkenazi, but,
I know. The Ashkenazi is the same way that way. Yeah. They're not praying. They're not trying to express the meaning of the prayer. Yeah. They're trying to sing, show their vocal cords.
And so if you said Arabic music, as I said, I mean, from what I've read, it's
yes.
The goal of saltanah, this like excellence of ecstasy. What is like the goal of tefillah?
When you find a dramatic point in the tefillah itself, you're going to find that the good singers will really inject their great music, their great phrases of music into those areas. Okay. You have here, for instance,
like nishmat or
nishmat is not good. It's not a good deal because there he really takes a piece of music.
Right.
I mean, a very scholarly piece of music and presented within that areas go. Now let's take off the seven set pieces of music, because that's not where the expression is going to come.
Okay.
The expression is going to run in the stuffings between these seven pieces. What does he do? Either he's totally monotonous and just trying to reach one goal to the other, like a runner trying to touch goal, or he is really trying there manipulate the meaning of the tefillah through his variations. Why he sometimes would want to switch in a maqam, etc. Let me just show you here what it would do. In the shaharit, very, 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 very expressive. It's after your nishmat. When you start with Bel'adecha, you already have phraseology here that is really phenomenal. Here it is, for instance. إن نحن مسبقين لو دخلنا الله بعيش كام كان على حد ما يلف ألفين بروبي بعمي ما تبون سين فلوش حسيت عمان عبوتينو I go crazy over it. I mean, there's so much expression in there to tell what's happening, what God does for us on a daily basis, on a minute-to-minute basis, that there are lines in this area which demand an extraction of feeling from the Hazan to let the listener understand what he's saying. If you just felt really, so what does that leave you? The guy doesn't even spend a thousand miracles being done for me on a daily basis from moment to moment. But if there is a musical rendition here with an elaboration of the word and putting it in its proper place, it's like a dart that hits a spot and so on, the listeners pay attention and they feel it, they sense it. You know, have something like this also. Now, how do we express it? The singer, how is he going to express it? There must be a way of expressing this. And then saying, this is all very dramatic material. And it's not just a quickie deal to pass through. You have a situation here. How do you express that? And the hearts of man will fear you. That phraseology there has to have a dramatic presentation. And then you have that each physical part of the human body expresses itself too. That has to be noticed in the music presented. The musician, I mean, he's got to be a stupid idiot not to be able to take these words and really swing them so that people can understand, what are you doing? I'm asking God, who is like you? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Now, there is areas here for total drama for the Hazan to take over. If they don't, they're only interested in going from piece to piece and singing a musical piece to it. Now, all Hazanim that start out for the first few years started that way. Just let me get to touch base so I can say that piece of music and not forget it before, and throw that and finish with it. That's my problem. But the better Hazanim, the mature Hazanim, will take many of these renditions and put a lot of drama into it. Here's another area. What? All of these praises, Shirushbaha, Halel Bezimra, all these could be very dramatically presented. Mm-hmm. We say 13 of them, the Ashkenazim say 15 of them, where there's a difference in the opinion as to which, how many have to be said, so on. So I say a lot of these areas, it depends on how the Hazan feels at the moment. What is he trying to express? You have here a situation into Barak Lanesah, where he starts expressing. This is already very dramatic. All these are all these words have to hit a goal, a spot to the in the listener's mind. What is this guy trying to tell me? Now, I very often in this area switch into a makam. It's almost become standard with me, but I switch into a makam, which is almost like a tearjerker, and it's makam Saba, which you hear in the Brit Milah and things like that. But it's a rendition that really alerts the senses of the person that something very unusual is going to be said in here. And finally, we end up with Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's like, I mean, when you hear a symphonic piece and you get to the really climax of it, or the apex of it, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh has to be done in such a mode and rendition that they feel it throughout the paragraph itself. You're leading up to something. And the people respond. They too will start screaming, Kadosh, Kadosh, okay, according to how you present the music. So I say, many, many of these pieces really lend themselves to be dramatized. It depends on the know-how of the Hazan himself, how to handle a small paragraph, how to handle two, three sentences to dramatize something to the listener, and becomes like a lesson for the listener. This is what we're asking God, or this is how we're praising God, with these words, etc., etc. So that depends on the Hazan. But otherwise, it's a field that at first the challenge for any Hazan is to know a melodic piece. Then the second challenge would be how to get from the melodic piece to the other melodic piece without everybody falling asleep on you totally. Then it becomes a question. Then already, now when he gets to that level, then he gets to realize that there could be a tremendous amount of monotony between melodic piece and melodic piece. And he has to think of variations, how to spice it up, etc. So then he starts thinking in terms, and I tell him, understand what you're saying. If you're Hazan, you have to understand what you're saying. If you don't understand what you're saying, it'll all come out like blah, 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 and just he's a musical piece. Let's say the musical piece and finish, like a pizmon. When they get to that category, it means they have studied already the Arba'alei Tefillah. They really have to be Ba'alei Tefillah. The combination is not to know music alone. The biggest expression is the Ba'al Tefillah. And they use all of these bows and arrows and slingshots, etc., when they come to the Yamim Noraim, especially on Yom Kippurim, when you have so much Selichot. That Selichot has to be vibrant. It has to be, stirring every instant of the day of the 25-hour period of Yom Kippurim. And if you don't have the material to go with it, so you know a makam. So what are you doing with the makam? You need the expression that goes along with it. Where do you switch? Where don't you switch? Now that the Rosh Hashanah, the Kippur, is a very remarkable day because I don't know if there's any makam we don't use. I think we run through the whole slew of makams through it.
Wow.
No doubt about it.
Maybe some other time we can talk about some defense
work. That usually is a very emotional, dramatic period of time. You have it in so many of the instances of the Selichot. Unfortunately, the day is not long enough. But we have to run through many of the Selichot there. But you get into certain periods where you really have to swing. You have the ne'ilah period. You really have to be very dramatic there. Erev Arbit, Erev Kippur, also it has to be, everybody's just starting being refreshed.
Maybe we could talk about that at a separate time. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, this is too long anyway. And this is something you want to experience sometime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. One final question is, when I've talked about the Syrian music to other people and we've played some examples, they always ask me a question that I'm never sure about, I know it may sound like a bizarre question, so I'm not going to that ahead of time. They always say, well, if they make use of Arabic music and, you know, they're using it in all these ways, is it really Jewish music?
Is it really Jewish music? No, it's not. It's not Jewish music. You see, but the unfortunate fact is this too, that they're making the question is simpler than the answer.
Right.
We have many melodies that are so traditional that, believe you me, some of them could be from Bayit Sheni yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have certain standard melodic pieces.
Which melodies are that?
We have many in the Piyutim, many of the Selichot that we have Shabbat morning. Not Selichot of the Yamim Noraim.
Uh-huh.
That the Bakashot Shabbat. Bakashot Shabbat,
uh-huh.
There are in them many, many melodies that are practically unidentifiable with modern Arabic music.
Uh-huh.
Unidentifiable. Which Rabbi Lieberman, God bless him, keeps saying, he says, this is your Nosach.
Who
says it? Rabbi Lieberman. The rabbi in our synagogue.
He's
got a great ear for music. Great ear for music. He learned makam. He learned everything very nicely. Beautiful. He's great. But he says, you know, truthfully speaking, because he asked him, where does this piece of music come from? We told him, Rabbi, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This has been handed down from generation, from century to century. And that's what we've got here.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been living in the Arab world since the year 600 when they first started. Since that time,
mm-hmm.
That's what's called the Mustarabim. Jews that never left the Arabic world are called Mustarabim, like they're within the Arab nations.
Yeah.
Mustarabim, they're inside the Arab. Arab are the Arabians. We've been with them all that long. But also, from there's not that big of a jump from the year 70 to the year 600. These Jews must have known melodies from Bayit Sheni.
Mm-hmm.
And that certain piyutim that we have are as antiquated from Bayit Sheni as possible. And they could have been handed down also even through the Arabic world. Because to bring you back one more step, where did the Arabic world finally get a scientific knowledge of music? Well, it must have been out of the Jewish world. It must have been. It couldn't be otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they getting their music from? Because we notice that almost everything that they use in their scales fits all of the Arabic music, all of the music that the Jews that live in the Arabic world use. So at one point they must have been, they developed, no doubt about it, they were the first ones to write musical notes, the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt they were very, very excellent in that area, that they developed this scientifically and so on. They were marvelous, but a lot of the material must have been siphoned off from the residue of those Jews that were left from Bayit Sheni.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Jews didn't disappear.
Right.
Their music didn't disappear either. They knew what their music was and must have been sustained and retained, etc.
Great. All right, well, thanks. I know I said 20 minutes and it's still
long. No, it's all right. No problem. That question is not as simple as they ask. But no, but you really, what you really want to know is there are melodies that are absolutely unidentifiable by the Arabic world.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot identify it. Now, since I'll sing a piece, and the Arab guy, there's a musician, he said, sure, I can find that piece of music. I know, that's an Arabic piece of music written in 1200. See, Moshe Hain is great in this. He's got a library back to the year 1000.
Hmm.
He says, it's astounding. But there are pieces he can't identify.
Mm-hmm.
He says,
can you give me some examples?
Lecha eli teshuati, lecha heli vedala la la la. You'll notice that you hang on five notes only.
Now, is that a pizmon or a bakashan?
That's a piyut that we say in the High Holy Days.
Okay.
Nobody knows where that music came from. It's not a bakashan, it's not a piyut. No, neither. These are standard pieces of tefillot we have in our prayers. In the prayer, it's a piyut.
Mm-hmm.
But the melody that's and the piyut itself are antiquated.
And this is like appears where? On Rosh Hashanah?
Rosh Hashanah and Kippurim we have also.
In the Ma'ariv?
In Ma'ariv.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
That's a world unto itself.
Right.
Anyway, congratulations, Mazel Tov. Finish already.
That's right.
You've only been at this for 10 years.
It's not 10, but...
How long?
15, 5.
Oh, 5? That's not too bad.